All right, we are plugged in. It's Friday the 2nd of June, 2023. Unbelievable time is flying. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam here in Sydney, Australia. Great to be on deck tonight, Friday night show. Hope everyone out there is doing fine. And former AVN president Merrill Dorey is jumping on the podcast with me tonight for about the hour. And we have this probably, I say it sometimes, I know, but this is probably one of the most critically important podcasts I've done for a long while. I was just listening to one of Merrill's shows, Under the Wire, the other night, and she was talking about the WHO treaties and all of this, and we've been discussing it. I did speak with Senator Malcolm Roberts about this, and I did recently speak to Dr. Rima Labo about this. And I think it's really important. I don't think enough people really know what this is, or that this is taking place, or these criminals are having these meetings over there, and this stuff is going on that will determine all of our lives. I think this is kind of really scary, to be honest, to think that this is happening. And listening to the Merrill show and doing some research as we've been doing and talking about this, it now the pandemic, so-called pandemic, the whole COVID response by our government here in Australia, it all makes sense now. It's all falling into place as to what's coming. And this was all a drill. It was all test. You know, all the Kerry chants and the, you know, and the government response and the terror against the people and the police and everything. And I think looking at Australia with this kind of thing, because you loot where we stand to loose everything here, our health freedoms, our bodily autonomy, you know, our rights here, up to a foreign body, an entity overseas who can just dictate with their fake pandemics whenever they want. Once this is all signed and locked and loaded, they can call pandemics whenever they want, and boom. So I look at the health officers that were put into place. I see it all as a test. And I look at the whole thing that's happened 2021, 22 sort of winter times, and I just think that was all prepping us for what's coming. And so if I ask many people out there, not our listeners and stuff, but if you just ask next door neighbors and people, I don't think they know anything about this pandemic treaties. And so we are in critical times, and listening to Merrill's work and stuff, she's been ranting and raving about this and sharing a lot of information. I've got a bunch in front of me. So what we're going to do is we're going to get Merrill to cover this, because a lot of people are asking about it, and it's very critically important that we listen and share and get this out to everyone that we care about, because we, you know, if you look at this government and how they've acted, they're traitors. Treacherous traitors. And if you look at Vince Albanese, he's on his knees ready to sign this. I played a video the other night. They're over there now. There's not one nation that is not ready to sign this. So it is really critical times right now, and very important. So Merrill's going to cover this WHO pandemic treaties and what all this means and what we need to be doing right now. So very important podcast. Everything's up on krazfiles.com. Enjoy. Contact me through there. Everything's on there now. It's all in its place. So very good. We're over on Telegram if you want to chat there. And I have put the Kraz Files chat back up on the website if anyone wants to use that. It's for the public now. And you just click on chat in the toolbar up there. So I was just talking about the website, and we just continue forward. I was talking about the website, and the chat's up and running, so you can log in using Facebook or Twitter. If you don't have that, just use guest user and whatever name you want, doesn't matter. So just check out all of that, and BitChute and everything. You know, there's tons going on the website. And if you would like to support me, I do it myself, all by myself. I have no ads or sell anything, and members help me to continue here doing that and keep the website up. So you can support me over on krazfiles.com. Click one of the new banners, and it's over on Buy Me a Coffee through Stripe. Same as before, we've just moved it off the website because of it's just using too much space. So it's much cleaner and easier now, and I'm over there all the time doing extra podcasts and the Nightwatch podcast, where I'm breaking down all this stuff. So if we get any more cutouts like that, Merrill, where just like someone comes in with a big pair of scissors and just cuts the line, which is very weird, we'll just continue forward, and I'll just patch them together. It does make it hard for me, though. I like that one continuous feed, but yep. We'll do the best we can tonight. Look, very critical times, Meryl. I've had you on many times on the podcast over the years discussing all sorts of subjects, and I think we were talking a lot about this, but now it's really in our face. They're really moving fast here to bring in the Agenda 2030 system after what we've just been through. And this is a big part of it, the WHO pandemic kind of treaties. Talking to Dr. Rima Labo, she seems to think, or what she was saying, it's a lot deeper than any of us would even think. And whereas Malcolm Roberts, who I spoke to, was kind of more cut and dry, and he was giving his response to it. And I thought it would be great to get you on and talk about your work and what you're seeing here. And so take your time. Don't worry about me. I'm here. Just how are you going, first of all, with all your work and your shows and everything? They're doing wonderful. And
Thank you, Adam.
It's
thank
wonderful
you.
To see it. It's up and all about there, and lots of people watching and seeing the shows. You've got constant stream of great guests on, and show is very popular and doing well and being shared around everywhere. And this is just all part of the great, true, real media in Australia that we all have. You guys and Real News Australia with the General, and Ethan at TOTT News and Nexus News Feed, and it just goes on. We've got a great build here now, and we're building a system where we're able to get a lot of information out to a lot of people very quick, and they don't like it. So they're trying to censor and come down on us, and we know that, and it's only exposing the system a lot more. But this is danger, Will Robinson, Merrill. So where should we start with the WHO treaty? Do you want to sort of talk to our listeners about what this means and what it all is, just yes. for new listeners who might think, what are you talking about?
Yep, no problem. I think one of the biggest issues with this whole WHO treaty and the International Health Regulations, or the IHR, is a lack of awareness. I mean, our mainstream media is not covering this at all. Why would they? They're actually paid not to cover this. But it is something that can change the day-to-day life of every single man, woman, and child, and animal in this country for the worse. And I think we all need to not only be aware of it, but we need to be the messengers and help share this information. And I did send through a list of links, and one of them is Australia Exit the WHO. And they have for $5, you can buy a package of postcards and send them off to politicians and other people to inform them of your views on this issue. So I think it's really important that the people listening to this not only become informed themselves, but also become messengers of this information, because it is probably the biggest threat we've ever faced in our lives. And having come out of 3.5 years of the COVID scamdemic, that's saying a lot. So basically what happens is the World Health Organization is part of the United Nations. And the head of the World Health Organization is Tedros. I cannot for the life of me pronounce his surname, but he is someone who's been accused for many years of genocide, of being a war criminal in Ethiopia. The Ethiopian government has actually asked the UN to investigate him, but they are not doing that. So we have criminals at the top of this organization who are basically trying to take over the world. If this, and I know that sounds really dramatic, but that's going to be the outcome if these plans are not stopped. If Australia does not pull out of the World Health Organization, if they do not say, we're not going to be part of this, then in 6 months' time, Tedros is basically going to be the dictator for the entire world. The World Health Organization, as you alluded to in your introduction, the World Health Organization can declare a pandemic if they just suspect. They don't need any evidence. If they suspect that there could be some sort of an infection that is going to cause problems, and they can shut the entire world down. They can order governments to purchase vaccines and to force people in the countries to get them. They can force people into quarantine indefinitely. One of the things that have been talked about is having our companion animals, our dogs, our cats, our chickens, our geese, whatever we have, our cattle, that that if the World Health Organization says that they believe there is a disease that is being transferred from dogs to people, they can force you to put all of your dogs down, all of your chickens down, whatever it may be. They will become the law. What happened is in 1948, all power and sovereignty started to be shifted from parliamentary governments, such as the parliaments here or the Congress in the United States, to the World Health Organization and the United Nations. When the UN was formed, it was considered to be something that was going to bring peace and understanding between nations. It was a wonderful thing. But the reality is that from the very beginning, the UN and the World Health Organization have wanted to basically become the controlling bodies for the entire one world government, which is what they've been aiming for since that time. And the entire time since then, there has been the IHR, the International Health Regulations. And the UN and the World Health Organization have always been considered an advisory body. Even though they put their sticky fingers in governments and populations around the world, they could never actually force a country to do anything. They were just advisors. Right now, with these amendments that have been proposed to the IHR, the International Health Regulations, and the treaty that that Australia and I think it's 194 countries have already signed, the World Health Organization will no longer be advisory. Anything that they say will be binding. We have a constitution in Australia that guarantees certain rights. There's a Bill of Rights in the United States that guarantees certain rights. Once this comes into effect in May 2024, which is only 6 months away, all of those protections that we have, all of the sovereignty that we have gained over the years will be out the window. Tedros will be the dictator of the world. Whatever he says goes. And as far as the governments are concerned, if they do not pull out of the World Health Organization, then this will go ahead and we will have no rights whatsoever. And it's a terribly dystopian and dark future that we and our children have to look forward to if we don't do something about this. The good thing is that it's not a difficult thing to leave the World Health Organization. All the government would have to do, all Albanese would have to do, would be to say, thanks, but no thanks. We're not going to be part of this. We are pulling out. We are not going to abide by the treaty or the international health regulations. We're a sovereign nation. We'll take care of ourselves. Thank you very much. But that's not going to happen unless millions of Australians start speaking out, start sending in these postcards, start going to see their local and federal members of parliament. You talked about Malcolm Roberts. He has been doing great work in the parliament. Alex Antich has also been doing amazing work. And I heard Alex Antich in Estimates, I think it was this week, it may have been last week, I can't remember now. He was questioning Brendan Murphy, who was the head until he resigned a little while ago, of the, he was the secretary of the Department of Health, and Paul Kelly, who was the chief medical officer. Now, Paul Kelly is our delegate to these meetings that's called the World Health Assembly. They're the ones who are cobbling together all these amendments to put into the international health regulations. And both Paul Kelly and Brendan Murphy are either incredibly ill-informed or outright lying. I don't know which is which, because Senator Antich said, is it true that these regulations, when they come into effect in May next year, will be binding on Australia and the government will have no say in what happens if the World Health Organization declares a pandemic? And both of them told him incorrectly that it is not binding and that these are just recommendations. It is very clear in the documents itself, and I believe there are over 300 amendments that have been proposed by member nations. It is very clear that it specifically states that these regulations will be binding on the nations. Some of the things that have been said in this document, and I hope I'm not repeating what Dr. Rima said, because Dr. Rima and James Roguski are the experts on this issue. I'm just a newborn when it comes to this, but I have been studying. For example, in Article 3, it specifically states that the rules in this document will be implemented for the protection of dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of people. India has proposed that that be struck out, so it will no longer be implemented for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of people. I want to know of one person who's listening to this who thinks that's a good idea, who isn't chilled to the bone at the idea that this organization wants to take over the world and completely ignore our human rights, dignity, and fundamental freedoms. They've said the quiet part out loud. It is very vague in its wording. The scope of the IHR says if there is an emergency, the director general becomes the dictator general of the world. I mean, it doesn't say that in those words, but it basically says that the director general, who is Tedros, again, someone who his own country says is guilty of genocide. Do we really want a genocidal maniac to be in charge of our health? But he is the one who will have the final say if an emergency is declared. And how will an emergency be declared? He will declare it. So all he has to say is, I believe that moneypox or Ebola or COVID or influenza is going to be a pandemic. Therefore, every country has to cede their rights to me personally, the World Health Organization, and the United Nations, and I will be in charge of how we carry things out. All the people who are not vaccinated will need to go into quarantine camps indefinitely. If they won't take the jabs, everybody needs to be tested every 15 minutes. Your children are not safe with you. They can be sent to separate camps. Your pets, your companion animals are a risk to the whole world. Therefore, they all need to be euthanized. All of this can go on if we allow this to happen. And it is not just Australia or the United States or Europe. It is every country that is a member organization of the United Nations and the World Health Organization. These organizations are not looking out for our health. That is the last thing they want to do. They are, as far as I'm concerned, homicidal maniacs who are, through their actions, showing that their end goal is to kill and maim and control as many of us as they possibly can. And they will succeed if we don't speak up.
That's right. They're out of their minds. Yep. And you mentioned Paul Kelly. I saw that video last night on Twitter with Alex Antic, and how sweaty is that guy? Oh my goodness, he looks like the golem, you know, from Lord of the Rings, the precious with the ring. That's what he looks like. I was just like, this guy, how could anybody in their mind trust that guy? I mean, They're lying through their teeth. They've been caught out so many times. Malcolm Roberts questioned these people directly as well, and they're lying so much that it's just coming out in sweat everywhere. You know, they're sweating all over the place. It's absolutely incredible what we're seeing, and we cannot simply trust these. We just can't trust them. And if we look, Meryl, what I was saying as well just before we started at Australia's COVID response. Dictator Daniel Andrews and everything. We can see Mark McGowan has jumped ship. He's, and left them, when he was affectionately, called the daddy of Western Australia, you know, the big daddy, you know. Yeah. They loved him so much because he kept them all safe, you know. And now as the injuries and deaths are climbing and, you know, with the borders and all the damage and everything, like Daniel Andrews, billions of dollars in debt. Now he's putting, he's making the state of people pay for that through extra taxes and stuff.
Yep.
And now McGowan, like Gunner and Ardern, they've all bailed. Berejiklian, you know, we're waiting for Daniel Andrews to bail. But really, it's like a chessboard. They're going to take them out as the heat rises, and then they'll spend their silver, and then they'll put them into a nice portfolio somewhere. That's what's going to happen, you know. These people need to pay for what they've done. And absolutely, I think that time is coming. But with there the COVID response, Meryl, what's your thoughts on that? Looking at the COVID response and signing on to the pandemic treaty, would you heavily agree that the COVID response in Australia, because they hit us so hard, I think their vision was that Australians aren't going to be willing to give up, you know, their health, freedom and autonomy and all of this stuff. And I think we need to really shock them, need to give them a big shock. And do you look at that response of what we saw in this country, and then you look at what they're planning with the pandemic treaty, and do you see that whole response as a complete test, if you will, like a test case for what's coming?
Absolutely. There's no doubt that COVID was the test to see how people would respond. And because we rolled over and said, yes, you know, beat us harder, Daddy, they figured that they can get away with it again. I'm hoping and praying that that's not right. I'm hoping and praying that the Australian people will wake up. You know, you talked about before how, why would anyone trust Paul Kelly? Well, why would anyone trust? Trust has to be earned. And if you look at not just the last 3 years, but the last 50 years of medical practices of so-called public health, which I think should be outlawed. And you're right, these people shouldn't be allowed to just retire with a golden handshake. They should all be in jail and possibly facing a hangman's noose or a firing squad. But these people, and I'm not just talking about the people since COVID started, I'm talking about the medical community for at least the last 50 years. I mean, it goes back further than that. Medicine, Western medicine, is the number one leading cause of death in the world right now. More than cancer, more than heart disease, more than anything else. Doctors, pharmaceutical companies, and public health officials are the largest cause of death and suffering in the world today, bar none. War doesn't even get a look in on this. So why in the world are we being told that that is the only answer to illness? Why are we being told, trust me, I'm a doctor? I mean, if someone tells you they're a doctor and they're a mainstream doctor, my answer would be run as far as you can in the opposite direction and don't look back. Because these people are not helping. They are simply killing and maiming people. And a lot of them are doing it out of ignorance. I think most doctors are actually probably really nice people, but they are totally ignorant of the harm that's being caused. And I saw today that there is a new documentary. I think it's a series of documentaries by Mickey Willis, who did the pandemic documentaries. And in these documentaries, he is speaking with doctors who have realized the harm they've been doing. And it's a very emotional thing. It's going to be out, I think, tomorrow. And it's a very emotional thing where they all of a sudden realize, oh my God, we've actually killed people. We've actually harmed people. And they have stopped giving vaccines. They have stopped using most mainstream medical treatments because they realize that that is not the way to health. That is not the way to actually help people. Unfortunately, there are still too many medical doctors, too many public health officials who are caught in that matrix of there's only one answer. We're going to burn, cut, and poison everyone, and that's the way to health. It's not. And we, as sovereign beings, which we are, with inalienable rights, which we have, we were born with them, we need, this is the hill we have to say we're going to die on, because if we don't, our children are not going to have a future, and we aren't either. We have to actually decide that no matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, we are going to make a stand now. And that means being vocal, being the educators, getting those postcards from Australia Exit the WHO, contacting Australia Exit the WHO and seeing if you can help them, because they're all volunteers, just like the AVN is, just like Jab Injuries Australia is, just like the Forest of the Fallen is, just like all these other organizations, just like you are, Adam. We are all volunteers, not doing this for money. We are doing this because we care, and we all need to be stepping up and helping out. And if we do that, our future is assured. If we don't, our future is black.
It sure is. And if we look at what they did during the COVID response, that's our future. But far, far worse. Because with the COVID response here in Australia, as bad as it was, and with everything that happened, you still had that right to say no. You know, and
yep.
And to navigate through, but this is going to be very, very harsh. I was just on one of the websites, we'll talk about a little bit here, and it says, we the people of the world do not recognize the World Health Organization as being anything other than an advisory body, and with no power whatsoever to enforce the recommendations that they make in all matters. We the people make up the whole of society, and we are the masters of the whole of government. We claim our right to personal individual sovereignty in all matters and cede that authority only to God, our Creator. We the people of the world are responsible for our own health, and we are not answerable to the WHO. This is very good. This is from a great guy, James Rogowski. That you sent me. He's working in overdrive, this guy. He doesn't stop. I mean, you go just to one of his websites and things, I mean, you can't get to the end of the information. It's nonstop posting, so there's a lot of critical and unbelievable information. He's one of the main players that's doing tremendous work here to get this information out to people. It's gone so quick, Meryl. We were dragged through the mud here with this COVID response, dragged through the mud. And then, you know, we were talking about this just on one of my last show with a guest, that I feel that one of the most powerful tools here of this, of what we saw the response in Australia, was the lockdowns. And I feel like it was a real psychological sort of thing, you know, a real psychological hammer blow, like, you know, putting someone and locking them up in your basement, that kind of thing, you know, like torturing people, you know, letting them out, locking them up, letting them out, locking up, and breaking the mind. This is satanic abuse. And the population were hammered here. And I think when we started to get to the end of it in 22, and they started saying the unvaccinated, you know, you have to wait until December the 15th or whatever to have your life back. And we always say our lives were never up for negotiation for these people at all. But other people, they did. They gambled their life, you know, and they gave it up, and they got the jabs, and they let them go back. And I think for a lot of people that I've spoken to and what I've seen, they just didn't want the lockdowns again. They were prepared to take anything and put up with anything and do whatever the government said, as long as you don't lock me down again. So that was a very powerful tool that they used in Australia, because, you know, we rely on work. We're a very outdoors nation. We love the beach. We love being outside with families and doing things, and being locked down for us was a terrible, situation for a lot of people. And there's the ricochets of that. You know, we still don't know. It's so internally and deeply compounding that we won't even know for years, with the suicides and the destruction of families and, you know, not just the jabs themselves and the health damage and deaths, but those lockdowns caused unbelievable torture and pain for so many people and businesses that they just never recovered or came back. And many people now are being told, you've got to go back to the office, and they haven't been there since 2020 or 2021. And it's like, that's a psychological sort of thing too, that you have to return to work, and all these people, and people are worried. It really is an incredible situation. And they ran it all on fear, and they ran it on propaganda, and they had people drowning in this limbo state, you know, where they're just unable to breathe. And if we think about that, And what they achieved, and it was all illegal, the whole thing was illegal, and it was not in any way or shape or form part of our Commonwealth laws. So they just did whatever they want. I mean, ScoMo was having these, what were they? They were just these meetings with the premiers, cabinet meetings, and the lawyers were saying this is not federal. It's not happening in the parliament. They just, you don't have to do it. But people, as you said, Meryl, we rolled over and we did it, and they punished us, and we submitted, and then now they feel that we are ripe, we are ready to sign up to this treaty. And I think people will kind of hear what you're saying and what we're saying, Meryl, and say, I think you're taking it too far. You're being a conspiracy theorist. This is not a conspiracy theory, Meryl, is it? This is life and death, isn't it? This treaty and signing up to this, because we the public, it's just crazy to think that these people can go over there and just sign something for all of us, and most people are not informed here. It's really dangerous. We're on dangerous ground.
And it's even worse than that, Adam, because they don't have to sign anything. The treaty's already been signed.
Signed, yeah.
The IHR has already been signed. If they say nothing between now and May, I think it's 24th, then that is tacit consent to us being governed by the United Nations and the World Health Organization. We have to write a letter to them and say we are pulling out. And what we as Australians, subjects and citizens, need to do is we need to make sure that we tell Albanese and his entire government that we are demanding that he do that. And for anyone who thinks this is a conspiracy theory, first of all, I recommend, as you said, that everybody go to James Roguski's websites. He's got a few of them. Exit the Who is one. He's also got a Substack, which is fantastic. It's James Roguski on Substack. And you can read the actual documents. You don't need to be a genius or some kind of a lawyer to figure this out. It says right there that this is binding. It says exactly what they're going to be doing. It says that they will be able to declare an emergency or a pandemic just on a suspicion that there might be a problem. One Health is another section of this, and One Health is the part that deals with things like animals and farms. I mean, it doesn't even have to be an epidemic. If they declare a climate emergency, the result is going to be the same. We get locked down. We're in our 15-minute ghettos. We are not allowed to go out. We're not allowed to drive. We're not allowed to do anything. This is the Chinese social credit system on steroids. And everybody, I think, saw those videos of China when the pandemic was first declared, and people were getting welded into their apartments without food or water. They starved to death there. People are being tracked on the streets. You have to show your green pass in order to go to work. Otherwise, you can't go. You can be thrown into prison. This is exactly what Tedros and the World Health Organization is planning for every single man, woman, and child in Australia. And I don't think, and I think that is a fate worse than death. I would rather fight to the death to stop this than actually live under that totalitarian dictatorship.
That's right, and it's coming in so quick, isn't it? I was just covering some videos and information last night. You know, I think it's Gosford area, Central Coast area, Nambucca Heads. I know it happening in Cairns. They're bringing in the council, are having meetings about smart city, 15-minute cities. And the thing, this is actually the stuff that I was talking about is on the mainstream media news. One was from Nine News about people pouring into council chambers and demanding to know more, and now the council are putting security there, and local people saying we're not being informed here, and this is about to do with 15-minute cities, and the councillors are actually saying to Nine News, we're just trying to create this 15-minute zone where everything you need is in there, and you don't need your car or anything, and you know whatever you want to do will be in that zone, so you can walk. And so, but then the media came out many times. I read through many articles from the Australian mainstream media where they're saying there's this crazy conspiracy theory going around where anti-vaxxers think that there's 15, 20-minute cities. But you can see in the UK and everywhere here, they're already doing it. It's on their own media, so they're contradicting themselves. It's absolutely madness. And I think by seeing that, just recently, and looking at the drag queen story events in the libraries and everything that's being done, what's happening in the US now under Biden and everything, we can see this crunch happening. Like, they're moving this Agenda 2030, system in very, very quickly now. And I think that is happening as more people fuel each other and they wake up to what's happening and they share more information. The system's becoming desperate and it's starting to hammer through all of this draconian measures to do with Agenda 2030 and transhumanism faster than ever, but too fast perhaps. And I think that people, it's making them, sending off a warning alarm in their heads. And I think even average everyday Joe Blows now are saying, hang on, what's going on here? I mean, you know, there was supposed to be a pandemic and then we were locked down and then we came out of it and we're going to get our lives back and now they're doing all this. So I think most people, I'm speaking to a lot of people who are not necessarily listening to us or into it, but I'm just checking and they're starting to see, and a lot of young people and elderly people, they're seeing that something is really off here and wrong, and they can sense it. They can smell it. And it's like, yes, that's what we want. We want that vigilante spirit. We want that fight. It's been drilled out of people. But we want them to see, as you said, Meryl, we want them to envision a future under this Tedros regime and what happened to China, and to understand that everything that happened to us was part of a test to test our compliance, to see if they could get away with this, and they think that they can now, and now they're going to attempt this, which really is the New World Order. It really is. If anyone sort of says, how do they bring in the New World Order? Well, this is bloody well it. I think this is it. I think this is it in plain English.
Even they were shocked at how easy it was. And I can recommend a book called The Psychology of Totalitarianism by Matthias Desmet. He writes about this. He's the one who made the phrase, I forgot what it's called now, mass formation psychosis. He sort of brought that to the attention of the world. And what you talked about before, how they, you know, they locked us down, they let us out a little, they locked us down, they let us out a little. It's this constant back and forth that put us into a state of complete panic where we became easy to control. Right now, I think people are waking up, and I think what you're talking about, even so-called, what people would call normies, but the people who really were unaware of what was happening for the first couple of years of the pandemic, they are starting to get the story. There was an article in MSN today, which is just about as mainstream a publication as you can get, about Jamie Foxx, who's a Hollywood actor, and he is now blind and paralyzed because he was forced to take the jab. He didn't want to take it in order to appear in a movie. Mm. And they actually said in the article, in the headline, that Jamie Foxx became blind and paralyzed as a reaction to the COVID vaccine. Pardon me. You wouldn't have seen that a few months ago or a couple of years ago. It is starting to leak out into the community through the mainstream media even. And even those people who have been sleepwalking for this last 3 years are starting to see that there's a problem. And that's what we need. We need them to not just see that there's a problem, but to start speaking out. Let's face it, in Australia, we have 26 odd million people. We have, I don't know, 15, 20,000 armed servicemen. I have no idea. That could be way less than we have, but it's somewhere. It's certainly a lot less than we have population, police, whatever we've got. We outnumber them 100 to 1. I don't know, but If we stood united and said, we're simply not going to go along with this, there is absolutely nothing the government can do. So we need to wake everyone up. We need to get them to contact the government. We need them to force Albanese to pull out of the United Nations and the World Health Organization. We need to do this before May 2024. We have 6 months to do it. So there is an urgency. I urge everybody who's listening to this to look up James Ragusky, to go to the website Australia Exit the WHO and order those postcards and start sending them in. And let your friends, family, workmates, everybody know about what's happening. We need to spread the word. We need to be the messengers to save Australia from what is planned for our population, for our children, for our homes, and for our families. Are you there, Adam?
It seems, Meryl, sorry, I was on mute. Seems like Albanese has been chosen specifically for this, this event, and so I can't see any way out with him. But so we just have to put pressure, as you said, on this guy. But look at him. I mean, I don't have any hope. But, I do say we do have great, I think I look at other countries and I think, wow, in Australia, we have, as you mentioned, Senator Antic and many people and Roberts and One Nation, we have a lot of great players in there for us as well, and they need us to support them. And I think there's still a great governmental system in here, and I think that watching those videos from Alex Antic and there's many others, not just him, and the pressure they're applying. I was on Twitter last night, and I was looking at one of Alex's videos, and the amount of views on that one video is astounding. This is getting out there, as you said, it's getting out to the public more, and I think if you look at people, what we're talking about with the lockdowns. They don't want to go back to that. I think people have really had enough. And as you said as well, with the police and everything, you look at what happened in London and those places. Once enough people in their millions come out on the streets, really, they just fold. And this, you don't even need to throw a punch. There's no violence needed whatsoever. If enough people come out, they just have to stand back because there's too many of us. So they want to dumb us down and injure us and confuse us, and spread propaganda and fear and poison people off. So we don't do anything. But I think most people do not want to go through that again. They can understand the bigger picture now, or they're starting to see it. And now, coming out of the lockdowns and being, if you look at some, a lot of people, they're not really trusting the system anymore after what happened to them. And now they're sort of trying to do this 15-minute cities. And so this is really sparking the fire here, I think. People are singing, nah. Nah, something's wrong here now. I'm not having this, because it's coming so quick. It's really happening so fast. And now they're saying, you guys were right. You're not conspiracy theorists. You've said it. Everything you've said is on target. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if when you spoke with Dr. Rima, whether or not she talked to you about how a campaign that was run through the Natural Solutions Foundation that she started actually did change the government. And what she said is 100 people writing in is not going to make a difference. 1,000 or 10,000 is not going to make a difference. But they got 4 million people writing to the Centers for Disease Control about they wanted to make, I think it was the hepatitis, oh, it was HIV. I think the HIV jab. Mandatory, and they got 4 million people to write to the CDC over a very short period of time, and the CDC just withdrew their demand that this jab be made permanent. We can do this if we don't sit on our bums and say it's too hard, someone else can do it. It takes 10 minutes to do this, and we all need to do it. And If 10,000 of us send these postcards in or make appointments to see our member of parliament, it's not going to make a difference. But trust me, if 2 or 3 or 4 million Australians do this, this will be out the window before May. And that's our job. We have to do this to protect ourselves and our children and our communities. So it's something that is achievable. It's not like this is impossible. We're not asking people to do the impossible. We're just asking them to do the inconvenient and difficult so that things will no longer be inconvenient or difficult in the future. Take a little bit of pain now and put off doing anything painful in the future for yourself or your family. And, you know, this information's on the internet. It's not a secret. It's not hidden. It's not hard. You can read the IHR. You can read the treaty yourself. And James Roguski has done fabulous short videos that talk about different sections of the treaty, like the goal of getting rid of any protection for human dignity or rights or freedoms, you know, things that I don't think anybody listening to this, anybody with two brain cells to rub together would support. And I think that there is enough reason out there for everyone to actually say, I'm going to start working on this. I'm going to do something. I'm going to spend 10 minutes this week. I'll spend 10 minutes next week. I'll share this information with my friends and my family and the people at work. I'll print out these postcards or I'll order them from Australia Exit the Who, and I will get involved and I will make sure that this does not happen.
That's right. And as we move towards the end of the podcast tonight, just switching, looking at the United States, this is going to give WHO like limitless authority and control over people's health. And so it's interesting because next time they call one of their false flags, President Biden, if that's what anyone wants to call him, he's pushing the WHO to enact this accord with a proper vote. So they're calling an accord, but there's a lot of pushback in the United States now from many Republicans and stuff to bring in legislation to stop Biden from basically approving this WHO's pandemic treat. And as you said there, yeah, I got it wrong. I'm thinking you got to sign something, but it's like a contract thing, like anything. You could have a mobile phone contract or something, and if you don't say anything, they'll take the money out of your credit card, you know? It just rolls over. We're already signed on, and if we don't say anything, it will just roll over. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yep.
The United States I just bring it up because it's kind of another beast, and I sort of think, man, something like this goes through there, you look at their Bill of Rights and their amendments and stuff, it's just so inverted, and I can't see Americans, because I look at the COVID response, it didn't really kind of take play there. I watched the whole thing. I have people that I speak to in Florida and Arizona and all around the US, and I asked them during what was happening here, and they were saying, what's going on in Australia? It's just terrible. And I was asking them, and there wasn't really much happening there. And I think their Bill of Rights, you know, the way that everything's structured there, and not everything's right, you know, there's a lot of things wrong, but it seemed to protect them, not so much in New York, you know, but as a whole, the US kind of went through okay. And when I last looked, it is sad. I mean, I think it's something like, I don't know exactly the number, but there's something like 30-something% of people who have heart problems now, not myocarditis or pericarditis, but just heart muscle issues from those jabs. But I look at them, there seems to be a lot of people who didn't play into this and didn't want anything to do with it and said no from the get-go. And I think looking at the United States and Biden trying to sign this in, bring it in, I think that this is a whole, what do you think there, Meryl, what are you seeing in the US with this? I can see Canada, I'm seeing some issues in the UK, I think they're onto it, and I think we're onto it, but I think if America could say no to this and completely pull out, people have a go at Trump, And he didn't do anything, but his language originally was that he would stop funding these organizations, you know, because America are such big funders. And I know Bill Gates, you know, Bill Gates Foundation are in as well. We've discussed this many times, but America are such big funders of the WHO. And if they were to enact this and this were to come into play, that means that American taxpayers are paying for this. And it's just, how mad would you be if that were to take place? So what do you think, give us your vision of, what do you think, if Trump comes back in next year, you have any faith whatsoever? Do you think he'll pull them out? What do you think's going on in this country? Where do you see them going with this pandemic treaty?
I supported Trump, but when Warp Speed came in, I supported him when he was president. I thought he was great, but when Warp Speed came in, and to this day, just a couple of days ago, he was interviewed and he said, you know, the world owes me thanks because I brought this wonderful vaccine, and he is absolutely refusing to back down on this, and I think his ego is one of the reasons, but I'm not sure. I think that whoever is president of the United States is going to be absolutely essential. And Bobby Kennedy is running for president in the United States, and he is the person I'm backing. I swore I would never vote Democrat again, but I will be voting for Bobby Kennedy. I'm still a citizen of the United States. I'm a dual citizen, and I will be voting for him. And I think that the future of the country and maybe even the future of the world depends on getting rid of the old guard, getting rid of the people who are willing to commit democide in order to keep their jobs and make money and have absolutely no compunctions about what they're doing. I think that Bobby Kennedy is going to be a once-in-a-generation president if he can get into office. And I think that if he can do this, things will change for the better. He won't be, of course, in office until after this passes, but I don't know what options will be for pulling out after that. I would assume that maybe America can pull out after. And yes, Trump said that he was going to pull out of the World Health Organization, but when COVID started, that all went out the window. The United States is a major funder of the World Health Organization. The top funder is Germany. The second funder is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And the third funder is Gavi, which is mostly funded by Bill and Melinda Gates, too. So we have private organizations that actually make huge amounts of money off of vaccines, being the major funders of the body that is supposed to be looking after the health of the world. And that's a huge problem. It's a really big problem. There is no independence. The UN and the World Health Organization are dreadfully corrupt. They sell their souls and our children for money, and I think they need to be stopped. The World Health Organization and the UN need to be shut down. They may have started with hopes and good cause, but for decades now, they have just been destroying people and the world. They've used abortifacient vaccines in developing countries to cause women to lose their babies and be incapable of having more. They kill people and children every year through UNICEF and forced vaccinations, and they have passed their usefulness. They need to be gone.
That's right. It's just astonishing, isn't it, that we're even talking about this? You can't even believe it. It's incredible. The only thing I'd say about Trump before we switch back to Australia tonight is that at least he said it. I was watching his last public address, and I couldn't help but, you know, have a stomach laugh at some of the things he says. And some of the stuff that he talks about, you wouldn't hear anywhere else. You just don't hear politicians and prime ministers or anyone talk like he does. But he did bring it up, you know, when, he's probably just, you know, he's got big ego, as you said, and he's, you know, he's entertaining people, but, you know, he did bring that up to defund them. And I've never heard that before. So It's interesting times, and Kennedy, yeah, it's going to be really interesting next year. But boy, this is all going through a bottleneck, isn't it? It's such intense and crazy times here that you just can't believe it. I mean, this is such a big one. This is the biggest of all, I think, because this is insane. We're all different countries. You can't have these spooks. You know, this entity outside just coming in with its tentacles and controlling this. It's crazy. And as you said, that's absolutely true. Because I was reading about this. They can call pandemics for anything. People start having heart attacks because of those jabs. Or, you know, this is the thing. Dr. Rima told me this before the jabs even came into our country. She said the vaccines always trigger the real pandemics. And then later I thought about that, and I thought, it's really true. It happened with the Spanish flu. You know, they come in, they scare people that you're going to catch something and spread something, and there's nothing there. And then you go and you get the prick in the arm, and then over time, you know, that stampedes into an actual pandemic, but it's a pandemic of the vaccinated. And then they come in with their propaganda and make those people who are sick and dying and around them think that there's some kind of pandemic going on, but it was actually from the initial jabs. And so, exactly. You know, I always stand by that comment. And when she said that, it made sense to me. I was like, yeah, that's right. You know, they create a pandemic through the jabs. And even Bill Gates, I heard him talking on a video the other night. He mentioned something about if you're going to have a reaction or whatever, it could be a few years. And the AstraZeneca CEO, when ScoMo ordered those AstraZeneca jabs for Australia, he said in 5 years, if people get sick, you know, we can't be held accountable for it. So that's up to you. It's, you know, you got to deal with that. So, you know, they're telling you, you know, and so we don't know what we're going to see in the next few years, but we're already seeing a lot of problems, and I'm seeing it all around. I didn't see it going back, you know, like last year, everyone's got their jabs, they're happy. And now I'm talking to people all the time who are getting all sorts of things. And it's a slow build, as you know, it all gets pieced together, and it worries me a lot, you know.
Being on the vaxxed bus, I have never. Now,
oh boy.
I started the AVN 30 years ago, and I've spoken with literally thousands of people whose loved ones have been killed or injured by vaccines. Since COVID jabbing started, it's a whole other level. When we were in Lightning Ridge, which is a town of less than 3,000 people, we spoke with 25 people there, give or take. You know, we didn't count exactly, but we spoke with about 25 people. Every single person we spoke with knew 3 to 5 people who had died following the jabs, and as many as 10 people who'd been seriously injured. And what you're saying is right. It's not an overnight thing. With some people it is, but it's not an overnight thing for a lot of people. And there are a lot of people who've taken these jabs who are going to be facing very difficult times coming up as the reactions start to hit them, as the things start to go wrong in their body. And there are treatments. The wellness, I think it's called the Wellness Company in the United States. They have supplements that are specifically meant to destroy the spike protein that is seeded into their bodies through the jab. And there are other things like ivermectin, zinc, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin C, vitamin D, all of these things that the government is telling you you shouldn't take. Anything that the government and the mainstream medical community tells you you should do, do the opposite. And your chances are that you're going to be a lot better off because of it. So, you know, it's not a hopeless situation, but it's something that we need to be working on now. I don't know how many of your listeners have seen The Forest of the Fallen, but this is something run by Jab Injuries Australia and also The Forest of the Fallen. And over 500 posters that people have reported their injuries or the deaths of their loved ones. And these are springing up all over Australia, and they are one of the most powerful means we have of getting the information out to the community that these jabs are deadly, and we need to be looking at them and not just going along with what we've been told to do.
Yeah, it's happening all over the country. Have you seen the plastering the BBC offices in the UK, Meryl, yes, with all the people who have died from this? I mean, and the media are telling you that it's, oh, don't worry, it's, you know, it's,
yeah,
it's not too common. You might get this or that, but it's overflowing now. It's starting to overflow.
It is.
And you can't deny it.
Everyone knows someone. I spoke at a rally at the border between Queensland and New South Wales a couple of weeks ago, and I asked everybody in the audience, if you know someone who was injured by the COVID jab, raise your hand. And I'd say every single person, bar maybe one or two, raised their hands. And I said, if you know someone who died following the COVID jab, raise your hands. Now, I've been asking that question at seminars for decades, and usually I'll get 10% maybe of the audience saying that they knew someone who died. It was well over half of the people raised their hands and said they knew someone who had died. It's the overwhelming weight of everyone knowing something has happened, something has gone wrong, that is finally going to get through to the people who have been asleep. You can only ignore so much evidence. And it's sad that it's taken this. It's sad that it's taken so many people dying. And let's face it, we could hear 35,000 people died in the United States after the COVID jab, which of course is a grave underestimate. And it doesn't mean anything to us, because who can picture 35,000? But when you walk through a park and there are 550 placards with people's pictures and their stories, and you know, you can read them, it becomes personal and it means so much more. So, you know, these are things that people can also be involved in, setting up Forests of the Fallen in their area, or if there already is one, going and helping. You can go to the Forests of the Fallen website and sign up, and you will be told whether there is something in your area. And I know Jab Injuries Australia is also needing people to help with what they're doing. And they are trying to set up an organization that will provide actual medical care for people who've been injured. So these are the things that the government should be doing, but they're not. These are the things we're doing for ourselves, and any help would be appreciated.
That's absolutely right. Fantastic work, Meryl. To finish off the podcast tonight, I'll let you finish this off. Tell us a couple of things. One, what would be your final statement? What would you tell Australian listeners out there? What do they need to be doing right now? And we'll put up all the links and things we can. And also, we have some, as we said before, some great people here, Gerard Rennick and Alex Antic and One Nation and Malcolm Roberts and so many, even Clive Palmer's party and many others, and independents, and a lot of people in our government alone that obviously do not want this to go ahead. Give us your opinion on not just what we need to do, but what do you think these fractions in the government need to be setting up? What's something that they need to be doing to get this attention on this and stopped? Because they do have a lot of power, and with our backing, what could they write up, or what could they introduce, as in bill-wise, to scrutinize this a lot more, and possibly get this stopped? And then finally tonight, just after you mentioned that, we'll talk about your great show and move and the bus and things and what's happening.
Thank you. Sure, no worries. Now, unfortunately, I can tell you, and I don't want to take too long because I know we're at the end of the show, but when in 1998, when the independents held the balance of power in federal parliament, that is when the AVN went down to parliament, myself and Lynn Grimsey, and we lobbied for and got a conscientious objector clause passed into legislation that actually protected parents and children from any form of discrimination if they didn't get vaccinated. And we could do that because the independents held the balance of power. Though we have great people in Parliament right now, they do not hold the balance of power. So Alex Antich and Gerard Rennick and Malcolm Roberts and Babbitt, Senator Babbitt in South Australia, they're wonderful, but they don't have a lot of power because they can introduce legislation, they can pass resolutions, they can do anything they want. If the major parties oppose them, nothing happens. For instance, Senator Roberts and Antic tried to pass a resolution that the there be an investigation into the 17 to 21% excess mortality in Australia since the jab started, and Parliament refused to do that. So they couldn't do anything. I mean, how in the world can people say, no, we're not going to investigate this? Hundreds, tens of thousands of you are dying every year, but we don't want to know why. So one thing I think people can do is make sure that you vote well. When there's an election, make sure you do not support any of the major parties. Vote, you know, don't vote above the line, vote below the line, and make your vote count. And volunteer to help the people from the minor parties. You know, volunteer to help One Nation, United Australia, HAP, all of these parties that are out there to protect us. We need to put them in office. If we get the balance of power, it's over, Red Rover. We will be able to actually make changes. Make sure that you contact Australia Exit the WHO and ask them what you can do to help them, and get the postcards and send them out and share that information with other people. Like I said, contact Jab Injuries Australia, contact the Forest of the Fallen, and get the information and start setting up these displays in your area if there aren't any already. If there are, then volunteer to go along, because people are trying to do this every weekend, and it does get a bit tiring. If the only time you have off of work is the weekend, then every weekend you have to go and set up a display. So, you know, help out, become a volunteer, become part of the solution. And you know, not only are you helping other people, but I can tell you, as someone who's been doing this for 30 years, that there is so much satisfaction in volunteering and helping a good cause. You will feel better for yourself. You will, your children will feel differently about you, because they will see you working on something that matters, and doing something to make their lives better in the future. So we all need to remember that it takes all of us working together to actually achieve this goal of protecting our freedoms and our rights. And we need to start doing this now. And if we do, if we all honestly work together, there is no way that any of this World Health Organization, United Nations treaty, pandemic treaty, the IHR is going to come to pass. There is no way that we will go into lockdowns again. There is no way that we will have 15-minute ghettos, that we will have 5G irradiating us everywhere and controlling us. None of that will happen as long as we take action now.
Just a quick side note, Meryl. Looking at One Nation, they strongly oppose giving up our sovereignty to the UN and WHO. Unelected, you know, entities and foreign bureaucrats should not have the power to lock Australia down and force Australians to undergo medical procedures. And the government should never have the power to force a medical procedure without your consent. And neither should an unelected international organization with dubious funding streams. So, right. Looking at just your quick opinion on this, you know, with what we saw in Australia with the COVID response, you know, it's kind of like we weren't forced, were we? They really pushed it, but people weren't actually held down and forced against their will. If this pandemic treaty gets pushed through and it becomes part of our system, can they actually, when they call pandemics, will they actually be able to force people to get jabbed, or they still can't?
I have to tell you, Adam, that is already in Australian, it's not legislation, it's regulations. New South Wales has it, WA has it, I think most states have it, and I think it's in the federal government too, that when there is an emergency declared, the chief medical officer in each state and territory can actually order the detention, involuntary detention, medication, vaccination of any person who has refused to voluntarily take these medications. Not only that, they can actually also come in and take your property. So if you have a house, they can seize it. If you have land, they can seize it. What happens to your children when that happens? I don't know. That was not used, even though that power was already in the hands of the government. But when the World Health Organization comes in, they don't have the same attachment to their neighbors. We're not their neighbors. We are just chattel. And I don't think they will think twice about doing that. And they will have the power to do it.
Yeah, do you think they could bring in their own police forces?
Oh, they already have.
But permanently.
There are UN forces in Australia.
Under Daniel Andrews,
They're stationed here permanently, but there has been reported around the country that UN-branded vans have been spotted driving around, and there are, you know, places in Australia where the UN has bases.
There's still more of us, and I read through that, how they can act here and everything, and so they can demand you, like you might be going on a flight in the airport or something, and you might get dobbed in or something, and then some officer can sort of demand that you get it. But I'm wondering how this would work when a lot of people say, we don't want any more, we don't want them, we don't want the jab. So it's not just a few people. So I'm wondering how they could make that work. But under the UN, if they come in, then, and they start this, then that's really they've declared war against the public. So you have to do, and you are entitled under God's law and natural law to do whatever it takes to protect yourself, your community, and your family, and you have a right to fight back in my book. So I think if enough people understand this, that they're declaring war against us, and they can come in and just declare pandemics, and they're going to use their own police forces, as you said, who will not have any emotions or attachments to our communities or how we run our lives here. They are just part of a foreign beast or an entity, and they're coming in and they're implementing this. So you can think of what Daniel Andrews did and what those police forces did, but put that on steroids, folks. There's going to be no attachment or emotions whatsoever here. And they will declare you a threat to society if you don't get their jabs. So this is we don't want to scare people, Meryl. I don't want to be putting out fear porn. I don't want that, but I want people to understand as well, because it's no good saying, oh, you're an alternative media, they're just putting out fear porn. But if we don't look at this ugly creature in the face and stand up to it, we're going to lose absolutely everything. So it is very worrying, and we need to get this stamped out. I think if we can push back here and even get it stamped out for now, it will bide us time. And if we can push this back, as you said, if we can push it back and they back off, and they're going to come back again, but it will give us more time to get our strength together and communities together and more people on board. Because I don't think anybody in their right mind wants this. You don't want this in your worst nightmares, you know?
No.
But continue on, Meryl.
You're right. Yeah, no, that's fine. You're absolutely right. We have the power to change this. We just need to, you know, seize our power and unite with others who believe the same. And, you know, we've done this before. We've done it. And we have the ability to actually fix this situation permanently. And what would fix it permanently is actually holding the criminals who have been responsible for this accountable personally. Sending Brendan Murphy and Paul Kelly to prison for the crimes they've committed, sending Tedros to prison. If the people at the top who have been carrying out these illegal, immoral, unethical actions and killing people and injuring people were actually held accountable personally, financially, and legally, it would stop. This would not happen again, at least not in living memory.
That's right. Oh boy, unbelievable times, Meryl, and we can just do the best we can and get it out to folks and keep the conversation rolling. I know that what we're doing now and the information, it's intensifying. The amazing thing now that I'm seeing all over the world is that there is so much heat on these people, on Davos, on the WHO, on the UN, on all of them, on Biden. They can't move. And it just goes around the world. Everything that happens. Yeah. I've never seen so much heat on Davos before, to the point where they're creating their own policing forces now. You know, which they already had, but you know, there's people on the ground, they're questioning them. It's just everything that happens is going so quickly around the world like a wildfire, you know, it's just spreading everywhere, and that's why they're so harsh on trying to stop what we're doing, you know, and they're trying to criminalize us and make us into some kind of terrorist threat because we're doing this, but they can't stop it now. It's a Pandora's box, and I think it's been opened. And I don't think it's going to close until we get a resolve here. And it's only becoming more intense. Everything that happens, everything that is said is just being shared so intensely everywhere. And it's reaching out to more and more people. And we're just part of that chain. I'm doing my little website and this, and you're doing your stuff. And it just links on and links on. And we're all part of this human chain that's getting this information out. That's so important. So we'll continue forward. And as you said, this is all going to take, well, we're looking to next year, right? So like 2024 is when we're going to sort of see this come to light. So what we'll do is we'll plug in with you when we can at another point this year to update this, because I think we need to stay on this and keep updating people as to what's happening. So when we know more, then we'll do another podcast with you and get this information out and keep going to spread it. So just before we finish, let us know about your work and your show, and I'll put all the links up in the podcast description as well. But going very strong now.
Thanks, your show. Adam, I appreciate that. Yes, as you mentioned, I am still the president of the AVN, the Australian Vaccination
Can't get you away to
Network.
Can't
now,
get
that's
you away.
All right. I am retiring at the end of this month, so the 30th of June, I'm retiring.
Sure,
I'm,
Meryl. You're like the KISS tour. We've got the KISS final tour, you know, the KISS. They're coming to do a final end of the world tour. I was like, what, didn't you do a final tour like 5 years ago? But don't worry, they're coming to play their final shows.
This is really it. Anita Hoffmeister has agreed to come on as president. She's done it before. She's brilliant. And she's just fantastic. So I am very happy to be leaving the AVN in such excellent hands. We will still have the Vax Bus. I may go out on tour with it. I may not. We'll just see how it goes. But what I'm doing and dedicating a lot of my time to is Under the Wire, which is the show I started with the AVN 3.5 years ago almost. I started it before the COVID pandemic, and it's been running ever since. Now, our viewership is down because we got most of our viewers on Facebook, and we've been suspended from Facebook. I can't stream there. But we're on Clout Hub and on Rumble, and we also do podcasts that go through Spotify. So, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Cast, all those things through Spotify. So we're trying to build up our viewership again, our listeners, because we lost a lot when Facebook kicked us out. But whatever, you know, whoever we reach, we're happy to reach. And I also have my personal baby, which is my Substack. For anybody who doesn't know, Substack is like an online blog site. And there is incredible information there. I could read Substack from now until the cows come home and only get through a very small fraction of it. So I have a Substack page called informedchoice.substack.com. And you're welcome to come and take out a free subscription and read the information that I publish. I publish almost every day. And it's really something that I feel really good about, because I do get some great information out there, and I get to read a lot of other people's great information too. So those are the things I'm concentrating on right now. And I am retiring at the end of this year. Sorry, at the end of this month, Adam.
Ah, just like the KISS tour, final tour, yeah. Yeah, the final tour. This is it. But anyway, it's impossible for you not to be involved with the AV in any way, because it's such an important body. It's our voice here for that, and so you will always be involved in it. It's just that there will be another president coming in, and what's happening with the the Vax bus, is that touring again, or is that having a break?
It's having a bit of a break while the new AVN committee gets their heads around everything that is happening. The Vax bus will be sort of stored, and it will go back out on the road a few times for short trips, just for things like seminars and rallies and stuff like that. But we will be touring again. It's just going to be a few months, I think, before we do.
Yep, okay. And I'm on your Substack.com page now, Meryl Dorey, Informed Choice, great page. Sort of like a sort of a website, really, that you can create over there. So you've got articles up and everything that you're posting. Sort of like a – it really is a website. That you can post away there. That's pretty cool.
And post this interview too.
Yeah, it's a good option for folks, and they're not censoring on these platforms, so that's really good. Anything else, Meryl, you want to mention before we plug out tonight?
Oh, I think probably not. We've covered an awful lot.
Yeah, in this time.
You've stretched an hour.
I've stretched an hour a little bit. Yeah, we had a few.
Until I can see through it. So, but that's okay. It's great, because we have covered some great information. And I'm always grateful when you invite me to, Adam. Thank you.
It's good. Had a few little hiccups at the start. I don't know what happened there, but it's all turned out okay. So that's good. And I will get this up now, Meryl, for our listeners, and I will text it through to you. Because probably better than Skype anyway. I'll text that through to you, the link, and I'll add in this Substack. If there's any other links you need me to add in, I don't know if you wanted to just link me in Skype your other channels as well.
I will.
If you want to do that, whenever you have a chance, and I'll just link them in, because some of those other channels, you know, obviously Facebook and YouTube and everything have censored all of us. I've been cut off as well, banned and erased, but we're using other channels now, and they're working quite well, and a lot of great people are moving over there, and it's much more fascinating, and information is flying through these channels. What's your main channel,
I think Substack is the main channel
your video with. Channel, are you using?
Is Rumble.
Rumble. A lot of people are using video, Odyssey. Yeah, and Rumble as well. I'm using BitChute and some of those, and Brighteon TV. Those kinds of ones are all doing well and not censoring, so we're able to do a lot of work over there and share the information. And it's good, like Telegram. Even though there's probably issues, they're not censoring, and that's important. So we're able to continue forward. So great chatting with you tonight, Meryl. We'll catch up again soon for another one. As we know more about this pandemic treaty, I'm sure we'll know more every day. So we'll catch up in another short time so we can cover all the latest about this pandemic treaty and what's going on there and keep everyone informed.
Thank you so much, Adam. Once again, I appreciate your inviting me on.